This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their Golden Glow body set includes three clinically proven bestsellers for smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set provides spa-level results at home. Both sets come in giftable boxes with savings up to $48 and free shipping for a limited time. For 10% off your first order site-wide, go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM.
Welcome to Rainer Hirsch's Prompts in the Pub. I am the eponymous Rainer Hirsch, and thank you for downloading this episode. I've always wanted to use the word eponymous, by the way. The day after this podcast goes live, Chineke, Europe's first majority black and ethnically diverse orchestra, will perform Beethoven's Ninth Symphony and Good Thing Too. A majority black and ethnically diverse orchestra plus choir performs one of the most iconic works in the classical repertoire, Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. I'm going and will be tucked away in the nether reaches of the upper circle. Hopefully Chineke, whose name derives from a word in the Igbo language, meaning God, by the way, will attract a slightly more mixed audience than usual. Those watching on TV, the programme is to be broadcast on BBC 4 on Sunday the 4th of September, will probably know all about it if the director dwells as much on the black faces as they did on the Asian audience members when the Chinese pianist Yuja Wang played on August the 12th. But fact remains, try as they might, the orchestra and choir will probably still be the biggest collection of black faces in the room. Yes, let's talk about diversity at the proms. It's not exactly overwhelming. There have been some decent attempts. Sunday the 28th of August featured the South African Jazz Songbook, for example. But basic classical repertoire is essentially dead white guy music, so should we be surprised? It's written into the basic law of the proms, a classical music festival. Diversity amongst the audience is harder to assess. I frankly doubt that anybody's even measured it. No one has to fill in an ethnicity form when you buy a ticket. One of those things that starts with American Indian, because it begins with an A, and halfway down features the confusing word Caucasian. That is white, by the way. Not someone whose mother is from Cork and whose dad is an Asian. So, dear listener, armed with a nerdy interest, I've decided on your behalf to do a bit of my own research. On Wednesday the 24th of August, I managed to score a single ticket to Simon Rattle conducting the London Symphony Orchestra in Mahler's Second Symphony. My ticket was Stalls G, Row 8, Seat 1, if you must know, just below the Radio 3 commentary box, and very well placed to see the stage, Simon Rattle, white curly hair goldfish, and the faces of the audience in the arena, the standing promenaders. So this is what I did. I took several photos and, on my computer at home, blew them up, divided the picture into manageable squares, and counted off who was who. I think I said it was nerdy. In my inexact and probably deeply racist way, I counted off their sex, male or female, sorry, trans people, and their origins, European, Asian or black. Those people listening who are either European, Asian or black, please forgive me for the inexactness of this and the clumsiness of my vocabulary. Of what, 600 arena promos, there were 411 faces I could see clearly. Only 86 out of that 411, or just over 20%, were or looked like women. That's to say, 80% of the audience were or looked like men. 35 out of them were what I held to be Asian faces. That equates to well under 10%, and black faces, I would estimate, just 3 out of 411, which is way less than 1%. Now, I accept completely, this is deeply unscientific, it's based on offensively racist assumptions, it's also just one concert, but my own experience of attending the proms tells me that the broad message in these figures is about right. What do they show? Well, one, I have got a hell of a lot of time on my hands. I mean, blowing up the image and spending hours counting the faces, was all the paint in the house dry? Two, forget the details, the proms is a white festival, and what's more, a predominantly male white festival. I suspect the figures for the number of women attending might even out somewhat if you looked at the people sitting. The activity of queuing for hours to attend the proms upright appears to be a particularly male preserve. What can one do about this whiteness of the audience? I suppose what the BBC is doing, which is to feature more female composers, female artists, and ethnically diverse performers. All this may gradually make a different audience aware what is going on at the Albert Hall, at least. Whether that will even slowly change the demographic, I frankly doubt. But it must leave the BBC somewhat squirming in their executive seats to be trumpeting diversity so loudly in every part of their organisation, to see so little involvement of people of different ethnicities in the audience of an event which draws so much of their resources. And so to today's guest. Jonathan Pye is, to quote his Wikipedia entry, a fictional character created and portrayed by English actor and comedian Tom Walker. A political correspondent, Pye appears in a series of comedic online videos in which he rants angrily about British, American and Australian politics. So much for the dry description. You've probably seen a Jonathan Pye clip. Here's a snippet.
So he's gone. He's fucked off then. He's resigned. OK, so he's resigned, but he hasn't fucked off. OK. I mean, what do we have to do? Wait for another few months whilst he takes the wallpaper down? I'm loving this. What an exit. The Prime Minister forgot that his whip was a sexual predator. No answer to that one. No answer, no humility, no meaningful apology. For days, just more Dickensian twaddle and a little reshuffle. Not so much reshuffling deck chairs on the Titanic, more reshuffling cat shit on a litter tray. And the manner...
A friend of Proms in the Pub, Tom had never been to a promenade concert, or so he thought, so we took the opportunity to introduce him to the pleasures of the Albert Hall without seats. After a quick stiffening vodka in a Polish bar just round the corner, Tom, Harry the Piano, who was with us, and I began discussing what was about to happen. So you haven't been to a prom before, Tom?
I don't think so. I once sang a song at the Albert Hall.
Oh, now it comes out. What was that?
So I was in a musical by the Pet Shop Boys.
What?
And they did like a few of the songs at the end of Stonewall, kind of, I don't know, every year there would be a Stonewall concert. So I got to go on stage and sing a song at the Albert Hall.
Bloody hell.
From this musical.
Do you play an instrument? Oh, not much, really. I lead the Philharmonia. Really, it's not much. You've sung a song at the Albert Hall. You are the one person we've interviewed who has sung a song. Oh, no, hang on a second. We interviewed Benjamin Apple, who'd sung a song.
But I'm not a classical musician.
No, but it doesn't matter. You perform. So the Albert Hall, it's iconic, isn't it? Is that how you describe it?
It is. I've always heard from musicians that... Oh, it's terrible acoustic, so that'll be interesting this evening.
Right.
That's why they've got those big things at the top, isn't it?
Well,
they've been
up since the 60s, those ones.
But do they do anything?
Well, according to them that knew it before they went up in 68, whenever it was, they do. There used to be an echo, a famous echo. I mean, if you talk to anybody who knows the Albert Hall well enough for long enough, they will tell you the story about how Thomas Beecham said the Albert Hall is the best place any composer could have their piece performed because you were guaranteed at least two performances.
I've played from a Pye point of view where you can hear it bouncing back at you.
Yeah.
And it's impossible.
Do you think Pye...
As a musician, I don't know how you could do that.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I suppose as a musician, you are thinking three bars ahead anyway, so you are kind of spinning plates and patting your belly and rubbing your head at the same time, so maybe you're kind of used to it. I don't know.
Maybe you could accompany yourself. Do you think that's possible? Harry, you could play the accompaniment and then play the tune when it came back.
I've been booked to do weddings where you get, like, the church where the pipes are at one end and the keyboard's at the other. You're hearing it half a second after you played it, which is absolutely... fucks with your head completely.
I don't know if you've ever read David Byrne talks about David Byrne on music, and the opening salvo really is about how the place, the venue is the most kind of important place for music. So his music started in this horrible little hole in some, probably a New York club, and it's like they made their music for that place. And he was talking about organ music and church music and that kind of grand music that kind of does echo around the halls, and how the music is specific to that, because if you're playing an organ, you want it moving round the building and coming back at you and making these kind of notes that aren't in the playing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's specific to that. And I'd never, because I'd always wondered why, like, particularly sort of Church of England Catholics said, nah, you're praising God, but really slowly in sort of a downbeat.
Yeah.
But it's because if you do it slow enough, it becomes magical, you know.
Yeah. Well, it'd be interesting to see what you think about that acoustic now, because you've obviously got some sort of preconception about what that's going to be like when you get in there and how that feels. Do you think Pye would like to play the Albert Hall at some point?
I would do it because it's a tick-the-box venue.
Yeah.
But I'm really... here's a little sort of insight. I'm really funny about sight lines in the theatre. I went to see Steve Coogan live once, and I paid top dollar, and I was in a side seat somewhere, and I could see half the stage, and it really pissed me off. So when I started performing, I also found that whoever was at the edge of my periphery, if they were kind of on the stage, the audience, I'd kind of end up playing to them. So I'm really weary about kind of sight lines, right? I want to perform out, not to the side or not behind me. I want to know who I'm performing to. Mm. I think for what I would do, I'd find it problematic, because there's also nothing worse of going, I don't want to play to those seats because they can't see all of me, so I'll leave them empty. And there's something really odd about an audience coming into a venue where a third of it, the seats are empty. There's something that stops you going, oh, my God, it's a packed house. It is a packed house because those aren't for sale. But so I would play it because it would be a tick the box, but it would be a tough venue for... I think it's a tough venue for a comedian to play, I think.
It's like a stadium gig, isn't it?
Which I don't understand, really, as a... From a comedy point of view, comedy to me, I mean, comedy is, live comedy is born in a small room with a tiny roof so that you're in it and that atmosphere. And certainly what I do, I much prefer playing a theatre to an open... I play concert halls. I play, you know, Liverpool Philharmonic. It's a great one to play, but it's so wide
that
and it's so
wide,
big.
That's a similar space.
And there's no
actually.
Wings to it, so it's just me stood, and the size of the stage makes me look even smaller, you know?
Yeah,
so concert venues, for a comedian, it's a sort of different atmosphere, and particularly for what I'm writing, I always think of I'm writing a play. It's always a theatre piece, so it doesn't... It's harder work in a concert venue.
Yeah.
And also there's something about, which an audience would hate me saying, but there's a discipline. You want the audience to be disciplined, and you kind of have to teach them how to be disciplined.
Yes.
And if they can get up and walk out and buy a pint, there's just movement in the room.
Yeah.
And it's difficult, you know? And I always, before I go on, there's always an interval before, but it's like, please go for a wee now, because in about an hour's time, it gets good, and you're going to... And it's going to just dissipate the yes. So I do everything I can to try and control that, but then I've got good enough, or I'm experienced enough to realise you can't control it, you just have to do what you can. And picking the right venue is kind of really important.
And the lighting as well, isn't it? Because if they're in pitch black and all the focus is on you lit, then they'll be quiet.
Yeah.
As soon as you start to bring up even a smidge of house lights, like putting the thing over
the
budget
Liverpool
case,
Philharmonic,
shut them up.
The Liverpool, and a lot of concert venues, Liverpool Philharmonic is white.
Yes,
so it's white. The walls are white.
Yes.
So and it's a wooden stage, not a black stage. So all of the light is pinging off, and it pings all round.
Yeah.
So you can see the whites of their eyes, and you can see the whites of the eyes of the people at the back. It's like the house lights are up, and it's always a good gig because it's Liverpool, and they're just a there's such a vibe in that city, and when they're sat there, they want to see you, so they're great. But you've got to work hard, because from a performance point of view, you can, if you can see the audience, you can always see the one that's yawning, and you can always see the one that's holding their folding their arms. And from a performance point of view, a million people can be laughing, but you'll spot the one on the front row or the fourth row that's not. You know?
You have just repeated almost word for word, or at least a paraphrase, what a classical baritone it was on earlier on in the series. Called Benjamin Apple said exactly that. He said it about classical performances. He's giving leader recitals, you know, book at a piano, him singing poetry essentially, and he says the one you're looking at is the one who doesn't look like they're enjoying it. He told this rather interesting story about a singer called Elizabeth Schwarzkopf, very famous soprano giving a recital. There's some woman at the front shaking her head, just really off-putting. And she went back after the interval and said to the promoter, "You've got to get rid of, you've got to get rid of that woman. Tell her to leave. Yep. I cannot perform." Goes back on second half. The woman is still there, shaking her head. And then she's signing CDs or LPs or whatever it was. And this same woman pops up in front of her to get a seat. And what are you still doing here? Yeah. I thought I told you to leave. Why were you reacting to that? And she said, "Because what do you mean?" Obviously, was shocked and rather dismayed. I couldn't believe anybody could sing so beautifully.
Yeah, yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
So one has to.
I thought you were going to say she had Parkinson's.
I thought that as well. Can I just talk to you about, a bit about pie?
Because we have been, haven't we?
Ish. It's a character.
Yeah.
It's not. It is you, and it isn't you. It's a heightened version of you. Is that how you describe it?
More and more, I can write him as a, I write him as a fiction, you know. And I think I went through a stage early on where I suddenly realised he was a political beast, and people were tuning in for the politics. And I'd become a bit, maybe I'd be a bit pontificate a bit with him, and sort of express my view. But it is, he is my politics, you know, definitely.
Yeah. And the other thing is, let's just get this: it's a scripted thing. You're presenting a script. The brilliance of it as with any stand-up is to create the impression that it's actually happening, which you do, and it is absolutely enthralling.
Well, he's sort of Malcolm Tucker-esque, I suppose, in the sense that no one can talk that beautifully and Shakespearean in swearing terms, you know. Yes. Malcolm Tucker, it's like no one can talk that fast and have that, you know. But when you perform it with aplomb, you think it's real, you know. So that's pie, really.
So, okay, great. So we know what you're looking at. You're presenting a short act from a play, basically. Is that a way of describing it?
Yeah, I mean, what I do online is much more of a sort of a quick sort of bite of what's going on, and a sort of an immediate piece of satire in response to something. But I think the live shows, and I'm doing a podcast at the moment, and when I'm doing that, you can explore his world a bit more. And so it's sort of fun to do both, really. I think.
And we're going to a classical concert.
Yeah.
Is classical music your thing in any shape or form?
In any shape or form, yes. But it's a sort of a daunting thing to dive into because there's so much. But yeah, I have friends in the classical music world. I've performed with an orchestra.
Wow. Doing what?
I was in an opera. I was in Opera North. North. I played Puck in Midsummer Night's Dream, the Benjamin Britten opera. So it's like one of the only spoken word parts in sort of the canon, for want of a better word. And when I was a kid, when I was growing up, I did sort of amateur operatic. So like there's some Gilbert and Sullivans I did. So when I was about 15, 16, I thought I'd like to be a singer, I'd like to be an opera singer. And then I realised I didn't know music. It was too technical, it was too much like hard work, so I decided to become an actor instead. But when I worked with Opera North, it was a dream come true because I could finally work with an orchestra and a conductor, and it was incredible, but I didn't need to know the dots.
Can you read music?
No.
Can you play an instrument?
No.
Okay, so in terms of listening to music, is there any? If I said, "What is your favourite piece of? What are your favourite three pieces of classical music?" Would you be able to say there are? I'm not asking you. I'm just saying, are there three pieces that you go? Okay,
pieces of work. So there's a couple of operas I'd probably give you, and then I'd be able to find something.
Yeah. Okay.
So there's a little bit annoyed, but let's be honest, it's going to be Mozart or Beethoven or you know, do you know what I mean? It's going to be that sort of thing.
It's not going to be Shostakovich's second piano trio.
Well, it might be, but I can't tell you names of bands. I like, so I might like that piece of music, but I'm going to go the one off the TSB advert. Do you know what I mean? I'm not going to be able to go, that's Shostakovich's fourth, you know, ocarina concerto.
And what are you expecting? We're going to walk into the Albert Hall. Tell me, describe the experience.
You've just told me that I might be standing, and that disappoints me because I'm not going to see Supergrass at Brixton Academy with a pint in my hand.
Right.
I like to sort of see the... So I'm wondering about... I'm a little bit nervous about that idea of standing. What I want to sit and... You know, take it in. No, I don't want to be sit there rustling with a pint and just, you know what I mean? So I'm wondering if it's going to be a bit of a bum fight, which I know is the point, you know, it's the proms, it's for the working classes, it's for the, you know, the plebs.
Right.
But, you know, if I go and see a classical concert, if I can afford the Royal Box, that's where I'm going. I can't afford the Royal Box, but that would be, I want my own toilet.
Who are the people you're going to see in there, do you think?
I'm hoping it will be sort of, I hope it will be sort of a diverse bunch of people, and I'm sure it is, because when you're in the middle of London, it always sort of is. But
diverse in what sense?
I hope there's some students in there with backpacks on, as well as some old fart in a bow tie, and I expect. And I don't mean this in a sort of Guardian reader sense, but I expect it will be a load of white middle-class people. But I hope there's some sort of dudes there. Especially if you are standing. Come on, let's make it like a Supergrass concert. I hope someone just, like, smokes up a fat one and...
I can't remember a problem with that. It didn't happen, can you, Raina?
There's always somebody that falls over
I
know there's one more reason why they might do that.
Yeah, but I want someone to fall over because they're ODing, not because they've had a fucking stroke.
are you taking him to the mosh pit, or are we going to stand in the middle? What do you think?
The mosh pit.
but what I'm also hearing is that you kind of know what length of time a classical music piece plays out over. You know,
Also, I looked it up, and there seems to be sort of a standard. They'll open with a 10-minute something, and then they'll do a half an hour something, and then there's an interview, and then there's a 40-minute something.
Right, an interview.
There's an interval in the middle. So, and you know, I've seen some concertos. So, what I like about that idea is you get the best of both worlds. You get the spectacular sound of 40, 50, you know, people playing together.
Yeah.
You get some virtuoso kind of soloist, hopefully.
Yeah. Okay, that's good. Are you expecting to go away humming the tunes? Or
no.
You don't need to be doing that?
No. Well, also, there will be a bit where you go, oh, yeah, this motif... For classical concert people.
Yeah.
This motif is coming back and I'm enjoying that. Oh, I like, he brought that back in, but he did it louder. But by the time I'm home, I swear to God, that motif will be lost in the mist of time, definitely. Yeah.
That's great.
Unless it's on a TSB advert.
So we are in a park about, 5 minutes away from the Albert Hall. Let us make our way there and get stuck into the proms.
Having it large.
Yum, yum.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Then we made our way into the Albert Hall.
Right, here we are. Albert Hall. So, impressions as we walk in. Any at all?
Well, it's... I see. It's like a festival. Oh, yeah, no, that's cool. That's better than I thought. I thought it would be sort of slumming it down here, but no, it's nice.
Yeah. Is this as you remember it from your...
But also you can sit down, so I can sit down for this prom if I want.
You can, exactly, you can sit down. That's
oh, I'm happy
right.
As Larry then.
Yeah, yeah. People lie down as well.
So oh, yeah, well, it depends,
lying,
depends how dull it is.
After the concert's over. The orchestra was there. I was thinking the orchestra being there, it's a little bit anticlimactic.
I like this noise when you hear it. I like it when you go and see something that you're familiar with and you hear like the clarinet do a riff. So you go, oh, that's from... And you know where it's from. And you go, oh, they're playing that little bit. Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
I love this bit.
I just think in terms of the theatre of the thing, you know, that them walking out onto the stage is a theatrical moment. And to me, this feels a little...
Yeah, but that's why they do... That's why you have that convention of the lead violinist and the conductor to give it some sort of... wallop,
yeah.
I suppose, you know, yeah.
Because
they have to do this, right?
They
have to do this.
Well, they don't have to. They can tune off stage, and they can do this tootling on stage.
Given the choice, if I had the luxury of walking the stage while the audience was coming in, I think I might do it, because then you can gauge what they're doing.
Right.
I don't know, they're allowed to just sit there and they're chatting and hanging out. And it demystifies the stage for them. It's a job. Do you know what I mean? They're turning up to do a job. They're having a chat.
I do get that. But to me, it feels like if you go to see a play, the actors out on the stage are rearranging the props.
Well, I'll tell you what you could do. Yeah. If you had a curtain. Which isn't a convention in orchestras, is it?
But, no.
But I mean, it's like normally when a curtain goes up on an opera, you just go, fucking hell. Because whatever it is spectacular, right?
A decent
opera's...
Yeah.
The sets are fucking huge or whatever, you know. Maybe if there was a curtain, you'd go, that's... See, I wouldn't want those people behind me looking at my dandruff or whatever. I wouldn't like that.
Yeah.
And it means the people you're playing to can look at that man picking his nose if they want to.
Right.
I know, I don't like that.
Yeah. People be behind them. I have to say the acoustics are pretty bad. I think it's pretty directional, this.
Well, so the people at the back are fucked?
Well, they're not. They will get a weird sound. I mean, like, they will hear... Like, I was sitting back over there where you can see the brass people a couple of concerts ago. And you basically, you're here listening to the symphony going away and then...
Yeah.
What the hell was that?
Yeah.
Oh, that's the tuba entry, which you would normally just hear in the kind of weft of
wind. Yeah.
I think.
But also, if the people are behind you, the poor fucker on the third tuba... Mm. Who's got three notes throughout the whole concert?
Yeah.
He can't check his iPhone.
No.
Because they can see.
Yeah.
So he's gutted.
But they're generally checking your iPhone is regarded as poor form, I think. But
Every prom is live on BBC Radio 3 and available on BBC Sounds. Please ensure your headphones are plugged in. And many are also broadcast on BBC Television. Do enjoy the concert, but please. note that photography is not allowed, and please switch off your mobile phone.
Photography is not allowed.
It's pretty busy, isn't it? It's not bad.
It has been busy. I came here actually last night for the late night prom,
yeah,
which started at 10:15, and it was busier than this.
Okay.
Strange to tell. So this is pretty... Well, it's popular, like all of them. I mean, it's not a bad audience, but I'm guessing...
What's the ticket? How much did this ticket cost?
£7.12.
That's fine. Great. And what about those fuckers there?
30 quid.
No one's paying more than 50 quid to me.
No. Yeah. The top bit there, that would be like 25, I think.
I like the fact you can sit here, though. Oh, here we go.
There you go. Here's your leader, man. So, first piece done.
It was quite a good warm-up, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You get sort of a bit of everything. You get a bit of, you know that moment where an orchestra tries to be as quiet as it can be, but yeah, it still is resonating around the room.
Yeah.
Plus you got some crashes. The guy on the bongo drums got airing, didn't he? Do you know what I mean? It was a bit of, you know... No, it was good, that. Yeah, yeah. It's sort of that thing you sort of bounce along to, and you go... And this is probably sacrilege in classical music terms, but you go, there's a bit Sullivan going on there. A bit... I don't know, it was sort of easy to follow.
Yeah, okay.
Shall I say, you know.
Yeah.
But in a pretty way.
Yeah.
It was good.
So it started slow.
To talk movie terms, the third reel started to bore me a bit.
Okay.
But I like the first, like as many movies do, they fuck it in the third reel.
And this is the moment when Daniel Lozakovic, the soloist in the Brahms Violin Concerto, walked on. He was young.
God, he is young.
He looks about 12.
It's indecent. It's indecent. So, first off, impressions.
I'm not sure Brahms is for me. I need to unpack why I'm indifferent.
Yeah.
I think maybe it's the instrument. I don't think I've ever seen a violin concerto before. I've seen some concertos.
Right.
And actually, that last encore demonstrates the range of sounds a violin can come out with.
Yeah.
But it's pretty limited.
Right.
I don't know. There's something... I don't know. If I'd watched a pianist play a piano concerto, I'd go, Christ, that guy's done a day's work. And I know that violinist is top of his field and is superb and amazing. And yet you go, oh, that... There's something rather underwhelming about it. I don't know. I'm clearly a philistine.
No, not at all. I mean, I have to say that Brahms concerto has never really done it for me either.
There's nothing. I mean, maybe that's it. Because I think there'd be a few moments where you go, oh, okay. And it's not like Brahms is difficult, right? It's not some sort of avant-garde thing.
Yeah.
But I don't know. There was nothing to get my teeth into, really. I don't know. I mean, it's enjoyable, but and like every classical concert, you find yourself zoning out and paying tomorrow's electricity bill. That's sort of half the point, maybe, I think. Mm. But there was a lot of that going on throughout this Brahms.
What do you think of this experience being here? Now you've sat through it, you've stood.
It's very nice. It's neither one nor the other. It's got that convention of being very respectful and. You know, that's what's impressive as well. You know, the minutest... And I was wrong about the acoustics, like, from where we're stood. The tiniest sound could come out of that violin and you can hear it resonate, you know.
Yeah.
You know, there was a guy behind me in his cycling shorts. He's clearly just
stopped off on his way home to get a bit of Brahms, and you kind of go, now that is cool. You know, the fact that it's a £10 ticket to all intents and purposes is a good thing. You know,
we're pretty close for £7.12 in fact, so it's pretty close, aren't we?
Yeah, if you're paying
for this position in a proper concert, you'd be paying £50 or £60 probably, wouldn't you?
Yeah, that would annoy me. Yeah. I don't mind not particularly enjoying that Brahms because I paid a tenner for it.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't want to pay £100.
Then the second half, César Franck's Symphony in D minor.
So, concert over. What do you think of the show?
I don't know how you're supposed to feel after 2 hours of classical music, but I'm fairly zen.
Zen?
Zen, yeah.
Zen, I mean, relaxed. Sort of,
yeah.
Is that good?
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sort of, you know, you sort of zone out a bit, don't you? Is that what you're supposed to do at a classical concert?
You can do whatever you want, I think. I mean, you can zone out.
All right, I zoned out for a lot of it.
Yeah.
There was no element of this evening blew me away.
Okay.
I got to be honest.
If I said I bought you as your birthday present 2 tickets for tomorrow night, would you be like...
I wouldn't come tomorrow night, no.
Would you be falling ill strangely with COVID?
I don't know. I mean, I think the Brahms is a problem.
Yeah. It wasn't your favourite piece.
I found that rather... There was nothing to get into.
Yeah.
That last half was good. And easy. And I think if you don't know it, easy's probably good.
Yep.
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I'm just... You've caught me on a bad day. I didn't fucking hate it.
Mm.
At all. It's massive. It's always impressive. An orchestra is always impressive.
How many beers on the Proms in the Pubometer would you give that? Out of 5?
Good. I mean, it was the whole thing was fair to middling.
Right, so 3, 2
but,
and a
but
half.
That, but it's a matter of taste, isn't it? I'm sure it was performed beautifully. But
yeah, but it's you I'm asking about. Not,
yeah,
not
yeah, yeah. Well, that's it's a three pints out of 5,
three,
isn't it?
Or,
I mean, there was absolutely nothing wrong with it.
Harry's here. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I largely agree, I enjoyed the second half more than the first. I think the music is, Brahms running just like you is not my favourite. And the second half, I sort of knew that Frank more than I expected to. There's sort of certain tunes, oh yes, I remember that, I've heard it on the B-side of something.
Yeah.
B-side, you know what I mean.
I get it.
I'd go 4 beers for the second half, perhaps 3 for the first half.
Yeah. I mean, that second half, you can sort of... And actually, we were stood in the first half and I was sat down, you could see the orchestra. Slightly better, and that's more impressive, and weirdly it helps you with a piece of music you don't know. It helps you because you actually, your eye follows the first violins. There's an oboe over there. It kind of helps you along the way because it's 40 minutes of music you've never heard, right? That's tough.
Does the conductor help a bit with that as well?
I am fascinated by conductors, and I found this one really dull.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, I found him really... I really like watching it. This isn't going to translate in a podcast. I really like a conductor who's rather sort of... His movements are a bit more staccato to it. He seemed very sort of
fluid movements.
He was very fluid. And weirdly, and I don't know if this is a thing, you'll forgive me, is an orchestra always half a beat behind the conductor?
It depends on...
really well spotted, yeah.
Because I was just like, why are they're behind him all the time?
It depends on the conductor and it depends on the orchestra. But that can definitely happen. You can say to an orchestra, it's perfectly legitimate to say, to play to the point of the beat, which means when I get
that's
to the bottom of my beat, that's when you play.
Yeah.
But some orchestras just don't, and it's pretty scary.
That's what he was like. You'd go, he'd sort of, his whole arms would come down to the bottom, and then you'd feel the beat, and he'd go up, and then the beat came a split second later, and you're like, okay, that was really interesting.
That's not uncommon, is it?
That happens. I have to, for me, he was his gestures were just the same all the way through.
Yeah, that's what I mean. There's nothing to...
you can see a when a conductor's really in it, and it is performance. Mm.
Yes.
A conductor is performance as much as it is a tool.
Yeah.
You can see him sort of entice something out of this person, or
yep. yeah.
or create a moment, and also you, with a decent conductor, you feel that he's creating that moment in the moment. This guy, you felt like he's just sort of following the dots. I don't know.
Yeah, I get you mean. He probably only had this afternoon with the band. You know, he had about a 3-hour rehearsal.
I mean, there was also that as well. I was going, does he get to? He doesn't choose his programme, does he?
Well, that depends. He might have done. Probably not him.
Okay.
Now, the overall Proms experience. That is, this as a thing, would you recommend it to your friends?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like anything, right? So I went to see Mary Poppins the musical, and it was a freebie. And I loved it. I loved every second of it. It was just beautiful. And then 2 years later, I took my niece to go and see it with a couple of friends at £85 a pop. And I didn't enjoy it quite so much that time round, I have to say. There's always something with a freebie that means there's no jeopardy, right?
Yes.
So you come along to this for a tenner.
Yeah.
Well, I would have had no bones at walking out halfway through if it's not your bag. Yes. But for £10, it's worth dipping your toe in. It is an iconic building. It's iconic. It's beautiful. So you definitely feel that there's a sense of of an event here. But what's nice about it is you're not going to the Royal Opera House. You don't have to dress up in a dicky bow.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you can... I'm here in jeans and a hoodie, and I didn't feel like a dick. So that's great. It is, again, not being the Guardian version of it, but it is inclusive because it's cheap. It's
actually
a tenner.
£7 to stand up.
Go,
I mean, that's
yeah,
super
yeah,
cheap,
yeah,
really,
yeah,
isn't
yeah,
it? When yeah, you think
I
of,
mean,
you know, what do you get for £7?
Exactly.
A couple of coffees.
I think it's just a question of taste this evening that I've just probably seen one of the greatest violinists going, and it left me a bit cold. But it could easily have been a different programme, and I'd have been walking out here going, that was 5 beers out of 5 for £7.50.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's an amazing experience.
Yes.
Did you see the woman chucking up?
No. So this is what we really want to talk about. So I think after the second movement or the first movement, I just noticed that they were cleaning stairs.
You didn't see it.
And the guy, the conductor, clearly just stopped for a little bit because they were throwing fucking Ajax salt.
I think, whatever it was.
Did you see her puke?
Oh my god!
No,
cascade. It was
towards the end of the first movement.
It was
some woman walked up the stairs.
I saw them
followed by somebody else. And then somebody tried to get to the stairs, and this splashing onto the, and then again, and that was, and then she had to be helped up the stairs.
What an embarrassment as well. I mean, imagine her now. She's probably still in that building. I'm so embarrassed. Amazing.
It was a Proms experience there, and we had a great view of it, didn't we? Hey guys, well listen, thank you very much. It's been such a pleasure having you both, Harry and Tom, at your first, well, your second Prom, as it turned out, because you had a memory jogged by a visual cue.
Yeah.
But thanks so much for coming and being part of Proms in the Pub, both of you, and we'll do it all again sometime on TV.
Thank you, Raina.
Tom Walker, a.k.a. Jonathan Pye. You can catch him on YouTube. Yes, someone was sick, like big time. Maybe she also caught a glimpse of those white male faces. Some people feel this diversity issue really bad. Well, that's almost it for this episode. Please help us by sharing it, liking our podcast, and or getting in touch at www.promsinthepub.co.uk. As I mentioned at the beginning, Harry the Piano was with us at the concert, and inspired or not, as was the case with Tom Walker, by Brahms' Violin Concerto, Harry has come up with this, the Mendelssohn Violin Concerto, given the minimalist treatment and segueing into Andrew Lloyd Webber. In Harry's own words, look what we made him do. Until next time, thanks for listening. Here's Harry. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.